Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, February 7th edition of Byers & Company. Paul Osborne, City Hall Insider, in the studios next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. We are live on the February 7th edition of Byers & Company. Thursday morning, 7 o'clock hour. That means a couple of things. Mark Tupper will join us, as he does each and every weekday. But it's also the home for the City Hall Insider, Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, twice elected by the people of this community to run our city. And he is the publisher of the Decatur Tribune. How long have you been publisher of the Decatur Tribune? You started that at a fairly young age, right?
5 years old. No, yeah. 50 years.
50 years. Yeah. That's an amazing thing, especially when we're following the news today, which I'd like to thank the great state of Virginia, who has really sort of knocked us off as the most embarrassing state in all of the United States over the last week. It is amazing to me, though, even when we're talking about these stories, and I'm not commenting on any particular one, but when you go back to 1980 and you try to apply 2019 standards, it doesn't work that way, does it?
No.
Only in political politics and these sort of revenge stories. I mean, 1980?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's very disturbing to me. And I guess it's disturbing, too, when you have organizations saying, you know, you need to support us because we're the only objective news source left. And then our goal is to impeach Donald Trump.
Yeah, but these Virginia stories, though, I mean, we're now going back to what a 19-year-old kid did in 1980.
Yeah.
I mean, is that fair?
Well, I guess next you're going to go back, you know, to diapers when the person was in diapers, maybe misbehaved. It's just like going, you know, all of us, I think, have evolved over the years, some probably for the worse, but, you know, I'm not the same person because of knowledge and experience in that I was, you know, back in 1980. I think fundamentally.
No, I would hope that we all improve.
Yeah.
But the way we're doing this gotcha journalism and this gotcha politics in this country is that's not the way we're doing it. We're going to go back and go, okay, we're going to punish you now for the person you were then.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think if that's the case, and that seems to be the case, I think that's what's really beginning to turn people off. Like, you know, if a member of a different party is accused, well, he's guilty. You know, or she's guilty. But if it's your party, then I've talked to him, and I don't think that's that person in that picture or something like
yeah.
that. And that's it. And I think that's what's really disturbing. It's not even the act you're accused
no,
of doing.
No, we have no standards. It's just if the other guy did it, it's bad. If the other gal did it, it's okay.
Yeah, and we saw that in the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. That, you know, they were even calling him a serial rapist, and there was no evidence of anything. And yet you had two people running for Congress that they endorsed that were accused of domestic violence with evidence, all kinds of evidence. And I think Kamala Harris says, I talked to them, and they said they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I don't think people believe it, you know, the narrative. I don't know what's going on in Virginia. That's for the people of Virginia to decide. I just know that if people are going to change and be better people, you can't keep going back to what an 18-year-old college freshman did in 1980 and going, we're not going to hold you to the standard of today because you did that then. Then you might as well take a whole lifetime of becoming a better person and just throw it out the window.
Yeah, well, too, I mean, so many things, you know, kids do in high school that I'm sure they look back and say, wow, what was I thinking when I, you know, or college?
Yeah.
What was I thinking? They certainly had no history of experience in anything saying, hey, this really is inappropriate. And we've changed. I know the terminology today is so much different than it was when I first became a publisher of the Tribune. It's entirely different. And it seems like we're overly sensitive on some issues. And even bigger issues, we don't care one way or the other.
No, the idea, the narrative, if you had to sort of, I always think about, like, you know, aliens from outer space landing and we have to explain ourselves to them because, you know, they have no, you know, reference point. And if you had to say, and Lindsay, jump in on this because you're the only female here. If you had to say, okay, this governor who earlier in the week said that he was okay with after babies are born going ahead and aborting them, or he dressed up as Michael Jackson 40 years ago in law school, and we're worried about the Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah, we're worried about the Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
I don't know. It is crazy, right? And I blame the politicians more than anyone. The media are willing accomplices, but this is political gotcha revenge, you know. And then if you're dumb enough, I think the guy dressed up as a rap, the guy who's telling him to resign, then they find a picture of him, and it's like, okay, come on, let's just stop already. I feel sorry for the people of Virginia because I'm sure that their average person walking down the street isn't nearly as stupid as the people that are representing them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think when you look at the overall picture of what we've become today, it's not good for the next generation to see this taking place. I think we matured and became wiser in our ways because of looking at the generation in front of us and their service to others and that kind of thing. And I just see such selfishness today.
Well, the State of the Union address, we talked to Congressman Davis, you know, who was there, and he had the fire chief from Taylorville's his guest, you know, after going through that tornado. And I'm sure there were positive stories. But I watched on television that night, it was an embarrassment to me because they all of them acted like 14-year-old children.
Yeah, and Nancy Pelosi, I don't know what was wrong with her lips or something. It's just like and you say, these are the people who lead us.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who represent us to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we have.
Yeah, and there's no side to root for. I mean, there's just not. I mean, the president, you know, I don't know. So I look to local, you know, as always. And we just had Kevin Greenfield in, the chairman of the Macon County Board. That Macon County Board, there's 21 board members. We were talking about sort of how unwieldy that is. He said he'd like there to be 11, you know, 15 would even be an improvement. There is something to be said about, you know, I know that the argument on the other side is, you know, representative democracy and you've got to have a voice for everyone. But sometimes when you get too many voices, nothing ever gets done.
Yeah, that's right, because usually all the voices are talking at the same time, trying to get what they want for their particular territory, for their particular district or precinct. And I don't know. I see today that people, as they always have, they look to government to be leaders and to be the best among us, to make those decisions that make all of us feel better about ourselves and about our community, and whether it's on the national scene and many times on the local scene, you know, it's like, why do they do that? And at times there's justification for doing things, but at other times it's like the people feel left out of the process.
Yeah.
And maybe it goes back to your original question. Why aren't more people excited about some of these?
But I look at like the city council with 7 people there. You got to get 4 votes to get something done. If you went to an aldermanic form of government, which, you know, a few groups have tried to do over the years, you know, and you look at the county board, you got 21 people. Now you spend all your time horse trading. That's all you're doing. And spending a lot of money you probably shouldn't spend just to get a vote for this so that they can have that. It gets out of the area of doing what's best to, like, what can everyone get?
Yeah, and that's why in order to pass something, if you're someone who really feels strongly about an issue or about a part of the city, to get it passed, you have to give a lot of things away that you otherwise wouldn't vote for in order to get something that you want. And that's not good for anybody.
Not for the long haul, no. For sure. And so, I you know, and anybody who's served on a board realizes this, right? And I'm going to guess that the county board isn't any different than the YMCA board or the chamber board or the United Way board or any other board. You know, you've got so many members, and some of them are really involved and really read all of their stuff and really, you know, come prepared. And a lot of them just sort of show up at board meetings, if they show up at board meetings, and participate at a very low level.
And usually without the knowledge of the real issue, but just argue it, you know, and speak up and cause some problems from those who have read their material to the point where they're exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, I think you either become part of the problem or you get worn out.
Or you serve on a board for the purpose of actually serving that organization and helping that organization, not for your resume or for any other reason. You do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Instead of serving yourself, you do it to serve your community,
yeah,
to better your community. And to me, that's what community service, that's what, and particularly our boards here in Decatur and Macon County, it's about helping the place where you live, where you work, helping those people have a better life in that place, all the people.
Yeah. We had this conversation. You can listen to the podcast presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin, with Kevin Greenfield. No one's against sort of a recycling compost concept. I think that even the people who are opposing this particular idea, it's not the concept. It's that we're going to finish the year 1.5, 1.8 million in the hole. Why are we going out and borrowing another $7.5 million to build something that there's no absolute impetus that we have to do it right now?
Yeah, and I think that's wisdom in saying, let's take a closer look at this. It's not that we're saying this is wrong and we shouldn't do it, but we need to have all the facts at our disposal and make an educated decision on this instead of saying, hey, we have some free land, let's just go ahead and do this. And I think it's wise for any board to look closer at anything that seems to be really a good deal at the beginning, but you have to make sure because you're representing the taxpayers.
Yeah, because once you borrow the $7.5 million, and if it turns out not to work, then there's no going back.
That's right. And you know, if you had money, so much money, and you still didn't want to give taxpayers a break, it might be a little different. But you know, when you're really pinching pennies, and in many cases, and you know, the city and everyone, you're cutting back services.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and plunge, as far as the county, into something that really hasn't been thoroughly vetted? I don't think you want to do that.
All right. Speaking of which, we talked about this earlier as well. There's a story on the front page of the Herald and Review today by Jalen Cook about the celebration. And, you know, Claudette Davis, who I like a lot, who is the president of that board, you know, you can, I guess, from the outside looking in, say a board is screwed up or an organization is screwed up. But if you're not on that board or you're not in that organization, you really don't know all the ins and outs of what's happening.
Well, you're right. And that's certainly true of organizations like the city council and that. I mean, regardless of what people think, council members or board members have far more information at their disposal than the public does, and particularly in private sessions. A public vote will come out of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the discussion is about things the public is not aware of, and you cannot make them aware of that without giving away something. And I think as far as the Decatur celebration, I think it takes a beating every year because people, and maybe it goes back to some of the beginnings when we had, you know, what, a fourth of a million people downtown and no one believed it. And when those numbers came out, and you know, Fred Puglia was always saying all the hotels are filled from it's just like you. But the board, like today, when they're not saying that or that's not coming out, saying maybe we have 30,000 downtown, people saying, well, what happened here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you had false expectations to begin with, is what happened. And Fred was a showman. I don't want to jump up and down on him. I mean, you know, he created the thing, and he, you know, his way grows old after a while because you can only tell people something that's not true for so long, and people go, okay, all right. I think that a lot of what is still lingering today with the Decatur celebration does go back to all of that, though, because Fred would always go, oh, it's all great. Until it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a lot longer than Fred said so. I mean, and so now they're dealing with that. You know, they depleted all the rainy day funds. You know, the people wanted bigger acts. They got bigger acts. People didn't want to pay. I don't know what people want out of this event. Well, do they want perfect? Because they're never going to get that.
Yeah, I think the problem, and certainly I was one of the people Fred came and talked to when the idea came up. He talked to different people. It sounded like a really exciting concept to me. At the beginning, everyone was really excited about this, and Fred could have said 2 million people here, and we would have believed it. And I think when you're saying, well, you're right. I think Fred hated to say, hey, we're not doing so well here, because for all these years, he was saying, we're doing great. We have all these people. Well, if you have that many people there, why aren't you doing great? And he couldn't bring himself to say, hey, we got some problems here we need to correct.
Yeah.
And I think Lori inherited a lot of that, and so does the board. You cannot live up to something that never was.
No, but don't you think, though, that you have to have some perspective? If we put the 1983, whatever, 85, whatever the first year was, 33 years ago, if we put the footprint and that exact same event down this coming August, everyone in this community would go, really? That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think people have a nostalgia that's not really accurate.
Yeah. Well, I remember stretches during the where you'd walk several blocks here and it'd be a few booths. So, I mean, I think Fred did such a good job promoting it. You thought the whole place was jam-packed with food and everything else. And it was just well-placed in different – and the acts – the acts were acts I enjoyed way back when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And so I think most of those people are dead or they're not touring. So, and they were just mixed up groups. I mean, they took some from here and some from there. And it's far different than the acts that are booked today. And I don't think there's that nostalgia for that era as much.
No, but I think that people think it was different than what it actually, in their mind, they think it was as big then as it is now.
Well, I think you think that about a lot of things in your memory. High school, what a great experience. Yeah, don't you remember a lot of the negative things about it? And I think that's the celebration. You know, it was the greatest thing on earth back then. But there were problems back then. There were problems with wiring and things like that that had to be taken care of.
But if you go back 33 years ago, the state fair was much bigger than it was today. We had a county fair that was robust and well attended. You know, here we are all these years later, and it's still getting huge attendance. County fair, not at all. State fair, very little. So, I mean, it has survived a lot of its contemporaries as far as entertainment venues are concerned.
Oh, you're exactly right. In fact, a year or two, they didn't even have a county fair.
Yeah.
And that used to be a major event, particularly when I became publisher of the paper. You go out, be huge crowds out there, entertainment, and a lot of things going on. I think it speaks well for this community that the celebration is still going on, because a lot of these events have a shelf life of, 15, 20 years?
If that.
Yeah, and they just die out. And I think in this age where there's so much digital entertainment and so many other things going on, to have something that attracts that many people to downtown Decatur, kudos to the board for hanging in there and to Lori too.
Yeah, I know Mark will take it this way. I'm not picking on him, but I just think Mark's such an attack dog on this stuff, and I appreciate it. Mark Scranton's kind of initiated this letter, which started this whole story. I mean, a copy of the email, but. The celebration belongs to the people of the community, not a select few with their own personal agendas and the idea they don't have to answer to anyone for their conduct or actions or lack thereof action and accountability. Mark, that's called a board. They're willing to stand up and do this. You know, they don't owe it to you to release minutes to you or to give you inside scoop on anything. If you don't want to sponsor or you don't want to volunteer, that's your choice. But it doesn't belong to the community. It's put on for the community. But if you left it up for the community to make the Decatur celebration happen, it wouldn't.
Yeah, you're right. And we're fortunate we have people who are still willing to step up and volunteer and help this thing happen. And whether you attend much, whether you attend at all, I mean, your perspective also ought to be, hey, if this is good for Decatur people and those people who attend, then it's fine with me. I want things happening in Decatur that's good.
But there's some suggestion of impropriety or something. If the event, from all accounts I've seen from the financials that have been out there for the previous one, is that basically they lost $4,000. It was $960,000 in revenue. It was $964,000 in expense. No one's getting rich off this thing.
No, and I think the goal is to, if you break even, you're doing a great job in this environment. And I think things had to be done that people didn't like. Yeah, it was great when you could just walk down and walk up and down the street in a free festival. But if it's a free festival, it won't even exist today. It can't be totally free anymore. And I think you go elsewhere and you spend gobs of money, and don't really have the enjoyment that you have here, but somehow this should still be free. And I think they've taken steps over the years, and there've been a few. I've kind of reacted in my own mind, like, oh, it's too bad that you have to have a fence and things like that. But those things happen, and if you want to keep something going, you have to adjust with the times. You have to adjust with what's happening in the world and in your community, and I think that's what they've done.
Yeah. I don't understand why. I do understand why. I'm not even going to bother talking about that. The media does what the media does for their own reasons, and it's not necessarily for what's best for the community. It's what gets the most clicks, and if that's your philosophy, great. Have at it. We're going to continue to support the celebration, flaws and all. Folks, if we didn't support anything that was flawless, except for the flaw, we wouldn't support anything.
No.
Because I got news for you. Every single organization you work with, every charity you work with, every event that happens, there are mistakes made, balls get dropped. It's called human behavior. It is what it is. And if you're expecting perfection and you want, I don't know, who would be a big star today? Can you tell me anyone on the charts, by the way?
Cardi B.
Like, you want Cardi B and you want it for free? That's just not going to happen anywhere in the world. So good luck in your search.
Yeah. Well, I think you support things not because they're perfect in every detail. You support them because they're positive for your community.
Yeah, and there's still a ton of people that come down and enjoy the Decatur celebration.
Well, people come to back to Decatur for their vacation or for family reunions. There are a lot of things that are planned around that celebration, and it'd be a pretty empty summer without it, I can tell you. And people rave about it and say, well, we'll see you at the celebration, or we'll meet you at the fountain at the celebration, and that kind of thing. So I think we should look at all these. There are things that happen, events in the community that happen that I'm not really a part of, but I support them because they're good for our community. And I think that's the way we need to look at it. Instead of criticizing everything, either, you know, jump in and help out or say, hey, that's good for our community. I support that. You know.
All right. Fair enough. Paul Osborne in the studios. We got a lot to get to here today, and we're already halfway through, hard as that is to believe. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we've got rain possible, even thunderstorms, until about 3 p.m. It's going to be about 53 degrees for your high, but falling after 11 a.m. to 31 degrees. Then for tonight, cloudy and lows around 8. Friday, sunshine, highs near 20. And then Saturday, sunny and highs near 28. It is currently 40 degrees in downtown Decatur.
The boys at the Brass Horn in downtown Decatur need you to know the annual winter sale has taken another step to 50 to 65% off select merchandise.
Hello everyone, this is Sophie from the Brass Horn 2. We're joining in on the fun by also hosting our sale, which includes fall and winter clothing and shoes, our Save the Duck coats, and home decor.
Don't miss out on the best sale in town. They can't wait to see you down at the Brass Horn.
And Brass Horn 2.
The Brass Horn and the Brass Horn 2, downtown Decatur at 108 and 112 East Prairie.
At Ameren, Illinois, safety comes first. So before you start that landscaping project or install that new fence, call 811 to have underground gas lines and other utilities clearly marked. Because no outdoor project is worth getting hurt over. We're here to help get the job done safely so you can get back to enjoying your great outdoors. Ameren, Illinois. Energy at work.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, City Hall Insider Paul Osborne in the studios, coming up a little later today. Are we sure Debbie's going to be in? She was under the weather yesterday. There's a lot of nasty stuff going on.
Right. She said she'd be here, but, you know,
okay, I was told because she wasn't at class. There's a video up, by the way. We did our group, what was it called? Group Active. All right. So at the Y, check out nowdecatur.com or the Now Decatur Facebook page. You can see that. We also have the first of our two downtown Valentines up. Giggles. Have you been in the new store?
I haven't been in the new one.
Oh, my goodness. It's like four times the size. And they have a bakery now.
Oh, a bakery?
Yes. Paul, you got to get over there. It's unbelievable. So you get like four times the happiness, four times the amount of giggles. I think that's what we need. We were thinking about like all these, we call them joycupuses. They just suck the joy out of everything. They ought to have like mandatory time spin it giggles.
Yeah.
It's impossible being a bad mood in that store.
Hey, it's free tickets.
It's giggles. Yeah, exactly. I find we'll talk about this a little bit on the other side of the break, but I want to get into the elections. It's very quiet. We got school board, we got city council, we got mayor. It's going to hopefully get a little bit more attention as we go. We'll take a break for news. Back with more after this.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Presidential harassment is how President Trump on Twitter is describing a wide-ranging investigation announced by the new House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
For the last 2 years, the Republican majority has essentially been missing in action when it comes to being a co-equal branch of government.
Democrats now controlling the House also control committee investigations. The president's attorney general nominee William Barr gets a vote today in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Republicans hold a two-seat advantage on the committee, chaired by South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham. GOP leaders point to Barr's experience. He served as AG before, during the George H.W. Bush administration. Democrats, however, say they have been unsatisfied with Barr's commitment to make the findings of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation public.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the Capitol. A full Senate vote on the Barr nomination is expected next week. This is Fox News.
Patients receiving a total knee replacement at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital are now available to go home the same day of surgery. Traditionally, a joint replacement requires 1 to 3 nights in the hospital, but now patients in overall good health and who have the right support system can recover in the comfort of their own homes. Our goal is to get you home for dinner and back to life faster. Ask your physician if this is the right option for you. St. Mary's is Decatur's leader in same-day total knee replacement.
Some financial institutions look at their customers as a group of numbers waiting to be processed. We treat our customers like people, individuals with dreams and aspirations. That's why we're committed to giving customer service a personal, know-you-by-name touch. If you're tired of being treated like a number, give us a try. Scott State Bank. Together we grow. Member FDIC. Customer-focused, community-driven, committed to you since 1887.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Rain today, could even see some thunderstorms before 3 p.m., then a slight chance after that, but it's your high today is going to be about 53 degrees. That'll hit about 11 a.m., then it's going to start falling to 31 degrees the rest of the day. Then for tonight, cloudy and lows around 8. Tomorrow, sunny but cold, highs near 19, and Saturday, sunny, highs near 28. It is 40 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. Time now for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, Illinois football.
Well, on the day people were still buzzing about the Illinois basketball victory over Michigan State, a few things were happening regarding Illinois football. For one, Lovie Smith named his new defensive coordinator, and it's him. He will take on the defensive play calling responsibilities. Obviously that is right in his sweet spot. He was a longtime defensive coordinator in the National Football League. He called the defensive signals for Illinois last year after Hardy Nickerson resigned as the defensive coordinator. And it seemed like Illinois' defensive play improved after Lovie took over. And, you know, let's face it, no matter who the defensive coordinator is, it's going to be Lovie's basic defensive philosophy that will form the framework of this defense. So maybe why not him? He also added two defensive assistant coaches, one of whom is his son, Miles Smith. I know people get nervous and a lot of complaining on social media about he named his kid. He'll be the linebackers coach, although Lovie said he will have a hand in that too. I have no idea if Miles Smith is a good hire. He was involved with Lovie's defense when he was head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been around the Illini program. He coached some last year. We'll see how that works out. The other addition is cornerbacks coach Key Hudson, who comes from Florida Atlantic. He's a Monty Kiffin protege. Monty Kiffin, one of the best defensive coordinators in football for a number of years, and he will strengthen their recruiting efforts in Florida. Still undetermined is who Lovie hires as his running backs coach. You know, a lot of thoughts about that. I've mentioned Nathan Shieldhouse, bringing him back from Iowa State. As these NFL head coaching changes play out and new staffs are established in the league, it wouldn't surprise me if Lovie knows somebody with an NFL pedigree and brings that person in. We'll see. Yesterday was also the second signing date for recruits. And Illinois added two linebackers. The big one was Shimon Cooper. From St. Louis, very good player, highly regarded. Florida State was trying to convince him to go with them, but he signed yesterday. And then a linebacker from Memphis that Miles Smith recruited, a kid named Tariq Barnes, who can really run. They end up with a good class quality-wise. They just don't have quantity in this class. They only had 13 scholarships available at this point. Maybe they add one more, but this looks like their group going in, and so that's what happened yesterday. Some new coaches and two new players.
All right, on the other side of the break, we'll do a little college basketball and a preview of tonight's Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt and Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-22.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, college basketball.
Well, with the Super Bowl over and football now kind of packed away up in the attic until training camps open this summer, and with Major League Baseball's regular season still nearly 2 months off, college basketball will take center stage as we move closer to March Madness and the NCAA tournament. Selection Sunday, 7 weeks away. This is the time of the season when conference races get serious and when we will have a chance to become acquainted with the better teams, teams that have a legitimate chance to reach the Final Four. And we do that so that when we fill out our bracket on Selection Sunday, we have at least a little bit of a working knowledge of, you know, who is Tennessee, who's the number one team in the country that most people have not seen. And one such marquee preview is Saturday at 5 o'clock, when number 2-ranked Duke plays at number 3-ranked Virginia. This is a rematch of a terrific game played earlier this season at Duke. Duke won a very tense game, 72-70. That is Virginia's only loss. They're 20-1. Duke is 20-2. They lost to Gonzaga in Maui and then lost to Syracuse in overtime. But Duke is must-see TV. I mean, everybody talks about Duke. When you turn on a Duke game, you're like, holy moly, those freshmen are unbelievable, and particularly Zion Williamson, who just gives a succession of Sports Center highlight plays every single game. Everyone assumes he will be the number one player taken in the NBA draft. You watch him one time, and you imagine him with your NBA team, and all you can see is him selling tickets because people will want to see him. He is spectacular. I'm not saying he's a better basketball player than LeBron James, no way, but he's bigger and he jumps higher, and that makes for a pretty spectacular starting point. So Saturday at 5, Duke at Virginia. The best Big Ten matchup this weekend is Wisconsin at Michigan. Michigan leads the Big Ten at 10-2. Purdue, which has now won 7 games in a row, is in second place at 9-2. Wisconsin is 9-3, and Michigan State and Maryland, both of whom Illinois has beaten, are each 9-4. Illinois hosts Rutgers at 3 o'clock Saturday at the State Farm Center. That game will be televised on the Big Ten Network, and you can listen to it right here on WSOY. This is a chance for Illinois to win its third straight game. And then after this home game, Illinois plays back-to-back road contests. They're at Ohio State next Thursday, and then they're at Wisconsin the following Monday, February 18th. So a lot going on in college basketball right now. They take center stage. This is their time to shine. We'll talk a little bit about that and many other things tonight on Sport Talk from 5 to 7. Tim Kaine will be with me in the studio. We'll award the winner of our big game pick'em contest. And I don't even know. It seems like all the scores that we had called in last week were pretty high numbers. I don't think anybody went as low as it ended up being, so we'll see who won that contest.
All right, my friend, enjoy your day. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Back with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, after the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Running a business is no easy feat. You need every advantage you can get. Do your 2019 goals include wasting time and money? Of course not. Take a look at your Ameren electric bills. You may be paying more than you need for your commercial electricity supply. Stop exposing your bottom line to commodity market fluctuations and kickstart your 2019 by evaluating your energy expenses. But you don't need to do it alone. Diversegy can help. Instead of shopping energy supplier offers one at a time, visit shopenergy.biz for an apples-to-apples Kohl's comparison. Nationwide, our portfolio includes over 30 vetted electricity suppliers who want to compete for your business. Shop our site to find rates negotiated by our energy experts. Based on your needs and consumption, choose the per kilowatt hour price, contract term, and contract length that makes sense. Visit shopenergy.biz or call us at 844-841-5458. Your bottom line wants you to shop for the best business electricity rates from top-rated energy suppliers. Get your quote today at shopenergy.biz.
Linda Roberts' Best Trips Ever is offering a special right now for her Spotlight on New York City vacation, July 18th to the 22nd. Book now and save $100 per person. Don't miss out on Greenwich Village, Wall Street, the 9/11 Memorial and Museum, Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, two Broadway shows, and more. Trip includes five meals, round trip from Decatur to O'Hare, and all transfers. See New York City in style July 18th through the 22nd. Don't wait. This exclusive offer will go fast. Call Linda Roberts, Best Trips Ever, 864-4666.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. That means City Hall insider Paul Osborne in the studios. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, Debbie Vogel will join us. We'll also talk Hawaii. Everybody was ready for that, right, with Linda Roberts from Best Trips Ever. And I have four tickets to that game on February 9th, Rutgers. Saturday at the State Farm Center in Champaign, courtesy of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. We'll be giving those away in just a little bit, so stay tuned. All right, we are not all that far off. You know, we're already starting to talk about like spring training. We're starting to talk about like St. Patrick's Day. Municipal election, local office or local people running for office, they'll be out and about, I'm assuming, soon. We've gotten here or there some requests or press releases about fundraisers, but I'm not hearing a lot.
No, not like you usually do.
But isn't that sort of following form that what we've seen over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking off the air a little earlier that I don't know if the national debate back and forth has had people exhausted where they just are kind of tuning. But listen, I wouldn't identify the local candidates with anything of the national, Democratic or Republican parties, and this is nonpartisan. We're seeing here in the city council and certainly school board in that. But I've had a few requests, to come in and talk and explain their positions. And I think that's good. And I assume I'll get some more. But usually we're talking about maybe a couple elections ago or three elections ago. There was such an intense interest that about everybody called and said, can I come in and talk? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to tell you my position in that. And but about half of them have for mayor and city council seats. But I don't know. I think there's some important issues that need to be put out there. And I think in running for council, you need to be able to explain your positions on radio, to the newspaper, to all the media.
Yeah.
And if you're really serious about it, get your name out there. Get the word out there.
Particularly if you're running in a deficit as far as the name recognition is concerned.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing. There are people that run from time to time. Everybody knows who they are. And it's almost like a popularity contest, but in a good way.
Yeah, but in the mayoral race, Julie has that. I mean, she was on TV forever, Chamber of Commerce. She's always been a public figure.
Yeah, and she's always, name recognition is not a problem, for her. But I think in the case of her two opponents, one I have never even met, but I will say David Horn has sent me a couple emails and said I'd like to come in and talk to you and explain my position.
Did David send us an email?
No, but I'm emailing him, and I'm sure he'll come in.
Yeah.
You want to put money on that? I don't know whether he will or not. We'll see. There's a difference between people running for the first time. They don't really have a record, right? All they can talk about is their ideas or what they want to, advocate for. People that are in office have a record, so it's a little different standard.
Yeah, and I think it's you have to have a record that you can point to and say, this is what I've accomplished, and I would certainly assume that Mayor Moore Wolf will do that in saying, this is what's happened. I came on council, 8-10 years ago, mm-hmm. Whenever it was, and as a council person, this is what we've done. As mayor, this is what's happened under my watch. And There certainly will be also those who will oppose you because you have been in office. They don't like something that you've done, but you pretty much run on your record. And if you're a challenger, you point to the record, maybe see it differently, or maybe you just put out all your own ideas and say, these are areas that need work on, and I believe I can be the person to do that.
Okay. Now, in the fundraising area, you were mentioning earlier that the former mayoral candidate or attempted to be mayoral candidate, Cared Immersion Haas, was helping out Siobhan Francis, who is running for city council.
Yeah, and I got that too late for this week's paper, but which means I think it was in a couple days they were holding it, and I don't know if that was invitation only or not, but I did receive that. And I assumed, to me, it was a press release, and say the paper had already gone to press, so I really couldn't get it in. But she is hosting that fundraiser, which means she's highly supportive of Siobhan Francis on the basis that Francis is an accountant with the ADM. She feels someone is needed on the council with that kind of background, and kind of makes sense. And she did write basically an endorsement for her in that news release.
Now, what was the claim by that particular candidate that she had not turned in the receipt as Kara was accused of not doing, but someone contacted her and told her to go ahead and do it?
I didn't talk to her directly, but that's what I understood.
The whole thing seems a little strange to me.
Yeah, and that's something. She probably should be asked directly, but my understanding was that she told Kara that she also failed to turn in her receipt to the city clerk, but the city clerk told her about it so she could turn it in time. But I don't know.
Well, that's something we can ask when they're in.
Sure.
I look forward to meeting her. I look forward to meeting all of them. Anybody wants to take up, people think this, David Horn was on the show all the time. When he was running, for a couple of attempts to get into office. And now that you have a record, I don't think David wants to talk about some of that record, FOIA and the police chief and stuff like that, which is okay. But I think if you've been on council and you have a record of doing things, those are all fair questions if you want to be mayor.
Well, sure. I mean, those are always fair questions.
But it's hard to do that when you've never been there. There's really all you can ask about is, well, what will you do if you get elected?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, he has been on the council for a couple of years, so there's that record. What have you done as a council member?
Because I think that's important and indicative of what he will do as mayor.
Well, and I think the indications are that part of the platform he's running on is based on some of the things that he said or committed himself to as a city council member, and this is just an evolution to the next step. And I don't know. I think when people run, I think you have to tap in to what really concerns people in the community. And maybe your idea, and speaking of all candidates, is something you feel very strongly about that needs to be done. But does that translate to voters? Will people vote for you because you feel strongly about that and they don't?
How undervalued, in your opinion? I know you had a brief mention of Steve Garmon in today's Tribune. You and I talked about that off the air in a conversation about the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. We had the new city manager on with us, and I have no idea what to think yet. I mean, he was a nice guy. He was on for a half hour with us. But he seemed to insinuate that I was being over-exaggerating the how people look at the city manager as the bad guy. And I don't know, maybe he's not had that experience where he's been, but it's certainly the experience here.
Yeah, and Steve Garmon, who was city manager most of the time that I was mayor, and before that even, he always told me, he said, I'm the hired gunslinger. It's like you bring him to town and he takes all the bullets. He just kind of laughed about it. But but it's true. And I think in this community, you look at how city managers pretty much are treated, and it's that's the nature of the job here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true otherwise. I know that Tim Gleason, the Bloomington paper, gave him rave reviews his first 6 months. I don't know if I've ever heard rave reviews.
Guess they didn't talk to their sister paper here in Decatur.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just hope they give the new city manager some time. He's stepping into a position. He's stepping into a position that is known for taking a lot of heat and a lot of criticism. Some people react and just get stronger as a result, and some people, it discourages them to the point thinking, maybe I better look for another job.
I think part of that is the council. I think they play a large role in that, and I'll explain why I feel this way. When you came in, Garmin was already here.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there were some active council members that did not like Steve Garmin and did everything they could to undercut him. Fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair, yeah.
All right. He leaves. Ryan McCrady comes in. Y'all had a pretty good council. The mayor was very strong. You know, Tuna had that kind of a, you know, bigger-than-life personality that took some of that oxygen. And the council was churning along without a lot of controversy, right?
Yeah.
And then you get Tim Gleason, and then you get the Bill Fabers and the Pat McDaniels. I mean, you know, a couple of council members can really set the tone for a community in that way.
Well, I think the ideal situation is...
Ryan McCrady didn't have it as much, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was because he did anything that much different than Tim Gleason.
It's because of the council.
It's because of the council.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, the balance is if you have a great council, if you have a great mayor, if you have a great city manager, you're going to do great things. And that usually doesn't happen where you have all three. And you're right. I think when Ryan McCrady was hired, I think probably one of the best councils, it was comprised of some of the best people, some of the best leaders who saw the big picture, and they were there to serve. And I think that's one reason that a lot of good things happened during that. And Julie Moore was part of that.
Absolutely. Jerry Dawson, Dr. Yep. Dana Ray. I mean, you had a grown-up council.
Well, and Dr. Ray, who's leaving after this term, probably one of the best council members we've had in a long time.
Yeah,
she is rock solid.
And she is, but I'll guarantee you that at least in part as to why she's leaving is because it's probably not much fun anymore. Dealing with all of the craziness is not. You will do so much, you know, to give back. But when you're trying to give back and doing what's best for the community, and you got to deal with a circus all the time, it's a lot less fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I loved being mayor. I did. I loved the people. I loved going out speaking to the people. The hard part was bringing people together, and I needed the votes on council. And you get to the point where that just wears you out, and you know at times the motivation behind it. I don't like the city manager, so anything that he does, I will vote against.
Mm-hmm.
Those are hard things to overcome.
And it's hard to get people to believe it can get that petty, but I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, and I've seen it up close and personal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way. And I don't know, I guess I would always preach to those who would do that when I would talk to them on the phone and that. I said, this is not about you, and it's not about me. Don't forget, it's about the community. It's about, that's why I'm here, you know, move the community ahead. And I think as long as we keep that perspective, and you know, you may not like this person or that person, it's too bad, but don't use that to influence decisions that reflect badly on the whole community. And
right.
That's happened. I've seen it happen.
I know. And I feel like we're dangerously close to, I mean, we already have it, you know, going on regularly now. But you could really, you add another, you know, vote to that and you could have a mess.
Well, yeah, when it gets so close to where the votes are 4-3, I can tell you there are times you come out of an exec session, you feel you have the four votes, you get out there and the vote's taken and you don't.
Yeah.
And that's what's really frustrating. And particularly in things that are really, really good for this community. And I think with a new city manager coming on, a new council, three new members, or three members starting new terms, the mayor starting another term, whoever person that is, it's kind of a critical time. Are we going to stay debating issues that don't really impact in a positive way? Are we going to have feelings towards someone that I will never vote for anything that person wants? Or are we going to say, it's about Decatur. Let's move Decatur ahead. When you get that, everybody hitting on all those cylinders, we're going to do great things here.
All right, got to take a last break. Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Rain today till about 3 p.m., but then we're looking at temperatures falling as well. Temperatures will hit about 53 degrees by 11 a.m., then start falling to 31 degrees the rest of the day. Tonight, cloudy skies and lows around 8. Friday, sunshine highs near 19, and Saturday, sunny highs near 28. It is 41 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
My dear late husband and I bought our refrigerator 60 years ago. It served us faithfully over the years, but recently it stopped working. I hated to part with it for sentimental reasons. So I called Dick Van Dyke Appliance World to see if they could come out and look at it. They came out that same day and told me they thought the old boy still had some life left in him. All it needed was a new cold control, which he had on his truck. It cost me only $120 for parts and labor, and saved me from having to buy a new one. And my husband would be so glad to know the refrigerator we bought together is still taking good care of me. Thanks, Dick Van Dyke. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reagan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Decatur within the past month. Our technicians carry a huge parts inventory on their trucks and fix most appliance problems on the first visit. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Still looking for that perfect Valentine's Day gift?
Tune in to Buyers & Company on Tuesday, February 12th for an exclusive Super Tuesday Valentine's Day edition of the WSOY auction. For 3 hours only from 6 to 9 a.m., you can score great deals that will only be available during Buyers & Company. The Super Tuesday Valentine's Day auction, 6 to 9 a.m. during Buyers & Company on Tuesday, February 12th, exclusively on News Talk 1340 WSOY, 103.3 FM, and streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Milliken University wants to know, what do you see for yourself? Do you see yourself running your own business or conducting life-saving research? Do you see yourself teaching, caring for patients, even starring on Broadway? See yourself at Milliken. Attend a campus visit day on Monday, February 18th to learn about academics, scholarship opportunities, and the reason Milliken has been named one of the top schools for moving students into careers after graduation. Register at milliken.edu/visit. Milliken is ready to see you succeed. Are you ready to see yourself at Milliken?
You're listening to Buyers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here, our last couple of minutes with the City Hall Insider, Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur and publisher of the Decatur Tribune. All right, so the new city manager's in 5 weeks, whatever that is, and Wendy Morthland is the interim manager. I don't know that council's ever been, you know, put in that seat for a short period of time. I'm not so sure they had a lot of choices. Not that she won't be great in doing that for 5 weeks.
Yeah, Wendy, I worked with Wendy when I was mayor. Certainly a smart, perceptive person. I think for someone to take that interim position, you know, for 5 weeks until March, probably other senior staff members may have been asked. I can't really say that, but Wendy seemed like a logical choice. I mean, she knows the law. She knows someone has to be in that position. She's been there in all the decisions for years and years, and so she'll keep the city legal.
But I think it's important to point out that it's going to be, even for her or anyone else, even though it's only 5 weeks, that's a lot of work. And people just, well, why don't we just keep it permanent? You have these sort of anti-city manager people like that somehow, if you eliminated that one position and the salary attached to it, you would solve all the city's woes. You know, this is a temporary thing, and I guess anyone can get through 5 weeks of anything.
Well, I would hope so.
But that doesn't mean she could do the job full time.
Yeah, and I think she's seen a lot of the treatment of city managers, too, you know, over the years. But I hear, too, well, why don't you just let the mayor do that job? They have no concept of, well, we wouldn't be legal. I mean, if you don't have a city manager, you have to have someone in a position you're going to pay to do the same thing the city manager's doing. Mm-hmm. That's the law. That's municipal law. You cannot just eliminate the city manager's position and not replace it with something that keeps us legal.
Yeah, and the mayor, that's not what the mayor's role is. And even if you go to an aldermanic form of government, like you go over to Springfield, they have a mayor, a strong mayor, but they also have somebody running the day-to-day operations.
Yeah, that you're paying.
They just don't call on the city manager. Yeah. That's where Ryan McCready came from.
Yeah, and so I think the contract with Wendy calls for, if I remember right, $7,500 for that span. She'll probably earn that in addition to
I would think
things.
So.
Yeah, but it's a good choice.
All right. If you missed any of the City Hall Insider today, we covered a lot of ground. Paul Osborne, publisher of the Decatur Tribune. You can check out the podcast at nowdecatur.com, the Nowdecatur app. You can get it at Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcast. Presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. We're going to talk Hawaii. By the way, you're going to need it by tomorrow morning. Linda Roberts, Debbie Bogle, all in next hour. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Presidential harassment.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump tweeted that in all caps, exclamation point, all fired up over House Democrats rekindling the Russia investigation.
The American people have a right to know, indeed have a need to know, that their president is acting on their behalf and not for some pecuniary or other reason.
House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff, Fox's John Decker, is live at the White House.
The president criticizing Schiff over his plans to investigate the president's personal finances and whether his decisions as president have been motivated by financial gain.
There would be no reason to do that. No other politician has to go through that. It's called presidential harassment. And it's unfortunate, and it really does hurt our country.
The president tweeting today the Dems and their committees are going nuts. The Republicans never did this to President Obama. There would be no time left to run government. Dave?
Now, John, we're awaiting the president's remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast going on in Washington. Earlier, the president also tweeted Virginia is going to go back to Republicans in 2020 as the state's top leaders, all Democrats, remain mired in controversy.
Attorney General Mark Herring released a statement acknowledging that he once dressed in blackface. Herring says in 1980 as a 19-year-old, he and some friends went to a party dressed as popular rappers.
Now, days ago, Herring had urged the governor to resign over a photo on Ralph Northam's school yearbook page of a person in blackface, another in a KKK outfit. This says the lieutenant governor has his own issue.
Dr. Vanessa Tyson released a statement detailing her 2004 sexual assault allegation against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. It said, in part, Mr. Fairfax has tried to brand me as a liar to a national audience in service to his political ambitions and has threatened litigation.
That's Fox's Ellison Barber in Richmond. An accused cop killer awaiting charges in Milwaukee. Police say he opened fire during the search for guns and drugs, killing Officer Matthew Rittner, a Marine veteran. This is Fox News.